All right, it's the last official podcast of 2025 when this is being released. I know we hit New Year's coming up this week, so happy New Year, everybody. And Paul, what did we talk about today?
Yeah, today's episode is really focused on what we've learned from our clients over the last, I guess, 6 years, really. You know, it's nice to unlock people's minds and see how they develop and they rethink their thinking, and they have these IBC, just moments of clarity is kind of what I call them. And just awesome. But one common theme is these people are actively engaged in bettering their financial position. So stay tuned, listen up. This is a good episode.
Hey, I'm Dave.
And I'm Paul.
And this is the Wealth Warehouse Podcast. All right. Well, Paul, you got a new background, man. You got some furniture delivered finally?
Yeah, we got 428 items delivered on, what day is it today? I guess it was it Monday, Tuesday, whatever day it was.
Do they all have that sticker on them? 1 through 488.
They show, yep, Fougere Tammy number 275. That box is actually right here.
Yeah. I thought it was funny, like, they would tag individual, like, brooms and shovels and stuff like that. And yep, the next time I move, they just put that tag over top the previous one, kind of like on your, yep, your license plate. Every year, you put that new tag right on top. It's like, right, man, this thing has gone with me a lot of places.
Yeah, sure. We thought we had somebody else's box, but we opened it up and it was actually our stuff.
Yeah.
Luckily. But it did have like Colonel somebody's name on the side of the box. They must have just recycled the box or something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Saving money and charging it to the government.
Yeah, that's right. So now we're in boxes and... But I've got winter coats now, which is nice. I got my fleece. And
do you really need one in Tennessee?
Yeah, man. We were down in the teens the other day for a couple of days. It was legit cold.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Unseasonably cold.
So I won't be able to escape the cold entirely if I move out there, but...
No. It's a mild four-season climate here, but yeah, you can... You'll get a few days in the winter where it does get legitimately winter cold.
Yeah. Well, let me know when you get snow.
They got a foot last year.
Yeah.
Just once. And that was like the first time in 30 something years.
Yeah. And it shut down the city, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. Well, cool, man. Well, congrats. Glad you're getting your house in order and making the house a home now.
Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, you know, we're really wrapping up the year. Wrapping up 2025, so we've been at this for, 4 years now? 22, 23, 24, 25.
This will be our fourth Christmas.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, well, hopefully everybody had a good Christmas last week. This one's coming out the week after. And this is our last podcast in this format. We're actually entering in the new year. We're going to be revamping our podcast format. So hope to bring even more value and maybe even make it possible for people to join us live and stream the podcast live and take comments on the air and as we're recording. So that could be a big change coming. So we will let everybody know about that. And if we're going to go live at a certain day and time, we'll put that out there and you guys can jump on and throw your comments in while we chat. I think that'd be fun. Make it interactive.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that when we do a webinar, we can have clients and listeners participate. It always adds value. There's always a question that someone else wants to ask what they haven't, and someone like Big Steve will ask it.
Yeah. Yeah. We won't call anybody out by their last name, just their first names only. So we'll protect your anonymity. But, you know, speaking of listeners, most clients are listeners that we have. We thought we'd talk about what we learned over the last year from our clients and about our clients. Really, what did we learn about all the clients that we worked with in the last year, which many of you are actually listening right now. So we just kind of brainstormed here and came up with quite a few things that we learned about clients. One of the biggest one I learned, and it's not a shock, but they love their kids. All of our clients who have kids, they love their kids. because we saw a lot of juvenile policies come in this year.
Yeah, a whole bunch. We got a, still got a couple on underwriting right now, and that's good to see. And that means, you know, when they read Nelson's book, perhaps, or maybe they read it a few times, they paid attention to that, you know, even distribution of age classes section where he's talking about trees and plantings and harvesting and replanting and whatever. Same thing, right? The idea of creating perpetual motion in your family's wealth, right? Once it's started, it's really easy to keep going and expand.
Yeah.
Very simple. And one of the most important things that Nelson highlights, Dave, is underwriting is simplified when we're doing it on babies.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So easy. In fact, I just got an application from from somebody who had a baby last month. So you can actually get a policy on a child as soon as they have a social security number.
You know? Yeah. One of my best buddies just had their first child. They're in Okinawa. So shout out to Adam and Brooke. They don't listen, but maybe they will someday.
Yeah.
But yeah, I told them as soon as you get back to the States, Uncle Polly, you better be calling, because now it's time to get serious about generational legacy planning here.
Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately, not much you can do for them when they're living in Japan, but
yeah, they'll be back this summer. So
yeah. Perfect. So, yep, everybody loves their kids, man. And that seems to be, I feel like the first few years I was in this business, there weren't many juvenile policies. It was people just, hey, I'm just going to get one on me and we'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
But no.
The first ones you ever did were the Fougere.
That's right. That's right. I guess initially my first client did juvenile policies, but not a lot of people did. I feel like that's really starting to pick up steam and people are seeing the value in that. And maybe the value of, hey, I need a plan for my kid's future. I could put it in some other government created plan that's going to, you know, take away that capital from me and not have access to it for anything except this one very specific purpose. Or I could just put it in a whole life insurance and use it for whatever we want, whenever we want.
Yeah. And I was thinking about this earlier, and you can do that over and over and over and over, because every dollar you pay as premium into your system of whole life policies are dollars, or is a dollar, that will work for you until the day you die.
Yep.
And then it's actually going to go work for somebody else.
And then it'll multiply.
That's right.
Yeah. Right. So there you go. All right. Now, you know, something else we learned about our clients is they're really planning ahead. I mean, I've talked to many clients who have come back and said, they just scheduled time to talk with me. They said, hey, I've got a pay raise coming, or I've got a profit share coming, or a new contract where I'm going to get some back pay. Something like that is on the horizon. How do I plan for that? And that's exactly what we tell people to do, is call us, set up time with us, and let's plan for that so it doesn't hit you by surprise.
Yeah, exactly. We talked about it fairly recently, but it's the idea that you're gonna need to go do something, or you maybe already have plans to do something financially. Like I was just talking to a prospective client here who I think is going to become our client, got his application going. But you know, home sale followed shortly, maybe within a few months of a new home purchase. And wanting to preserve some capital for that down payment, potential down payment, just to have the capital available just in case, you know, trying to do a VE loan or it doesn't work out, whatever. He's got that, you know, 10 or 20% to put down. And I was like, dude, with the liquidity you currently have, no problem.
Yeah.
You'll be able to do both and.
Yep. Both and. Nice. You know, another thing that kind of goes hand in hand with planning ahead is convertible term insurance, which a lot of people have really caught the light bulb moment about the importance of convertible term and creating that future guarantee that they can add more policies and expand their system.
Yeah. And, you know, you and I kind of evolved in this business, learning from other people and how they, guys and gals that have been in the industry for a while. And, you know, early on, I didn't really think to do this or even know to do this. But now, you know, when you go through our underwriting process, we are going to underwrite you for a large amount of death benefit relative to your income, right? So that we have no constraints on the backside of the approval process. So when we design your whole life policy, we've already factored in a lot of convertible term that you're already approved for. And we can either lump that into that particular whole life policy or create a separate convertible term policy for you as well.
Right. Yeah, we want to get you approved for it. And then you have the option to keep it, to take it or not.
Yep. And we have two people in Texas doing that right now, expanding their convertible term system so that they can prepare for windfalls.
Yep. Nice. Just had that conversation with somebody this morning. So somebody who's, hey, I've got, you know, in the next year, I'm going to have the ability to do a whole lot of premium. Right now, things are really tight. Well, hey, here's the solution. Convertible term. Get it done now. And as soon as you're ready next year, you convert that to whole life.
Yeah, exactly right. So whether you're expanding your system, Dave, or you're new to the infinite banking concept, and that cash flow issue is present in your life right now, do the convertible term thing. Just do it. There's no reason not.
It's a no-brainer.
It's really a no-brainer. The death benefit is relatively cheap, obviously, because it's just a death benefit play. There's no equity in the policy, right? It's just death benefit. Just do it. And then you'll feel better. I trust me, you'll feel better. Like, oh, I'm paying a few hundred dollars a year for $500,000 of death benefit or whatever it is, right? Do it. Don't hesitate, because we have seen in this business now, six and 7 years respectively, people become ill overnight.
Yeah.
They're healthy one day, like, oh, I'm feeling down, whatever. Go in for some blood work and it indicates that they have leukemia.
Yeah.
Right. That hurts.
I've got a buddy and we both know him who just yesterday received a text from him saying that he went into the doctor like a month ago and they found melanoma and they had it removed and it's going through a biopsy and all that. But man, you might have gone from completely insurable to completely uninsurable overnight.
Right. Is he fair skinned, just out of curiosity?
Average.
Okay.
So I don't know. No, not pale. Okay. But
yeah. Like Brian, like the Brian that we know up in Cincinnati, you know, I would consider him pale.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of people up here in Minnesota are, you know, they're like Scandinavian.
Right.
So, it's just, you know, things happen. And unless you've prepared for it, all you can do right now is prepare for things to happen in the future. Because guess what? Things out of your control or things completely unknown to you right now are going to happen. And all you can do is
100%.
Prepare. Yeah, that's right. This is a good way to prepare. So let's talk about something else is a lot of clients that we've been talking to lately, we can tell they're much more savvy and discerning about the opportunities that they put their cash into now.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people that get into the infinite banking concept and incorporate it into their life were previously kind of like I was. I was very just along for the ride. Set it and forget it, right? I had my IRA or my 401k contributions, or they were an automatic draft every month, whether it was directly from my pay or directly from my checking account. And I did that for most of my working adult life, right? Since I came in the Army, it was just, dollar cost average, which isn't the end of the world or a bad thing to do. Obviously, it's a good thing to do. It's good discipline, good behavior. But I didn't even think to look for other things. Wasn't intellectually curious about it at all. So when you sent me that book in 2018, it was just my whole mindset had already started to shift. You know, we did some private lending together. And so that mindset shift had started maybe a year or two prior, but it just really the light bulb clicked for me even more once I was like, yep, IBC is the way for me.
Yeah. You start rethinking your thinking and then that leads to other areas of life. You can't just rethink your thinking in the financial area of your life and not start to rethink your thinking in other areas of life. Once you start asking questions and seeing that everything you've been told over your entire life is perhaps not the best thing for you, and maybe not even the truth in one area of life, and you start thinking, wow, this was told to me by people I'm supposed to trust.
Yeah.
Where else have I been getting information from people I am supposed to trust that maybe I should investigate a little further? So they actually become, their thinking expands in every area of life.
Yeah. And I go back to that reminds me of how I think about the military TSP. How silly. Like, I have a pension. Why do I need to lock up money somewhere else where I can't get to it till I'm 60 years old?
And then what's the advantage? Did you get a match?
No.
No. No match.
I got no match. So there wasn't, money, free money on the table or whatever. And I didn't, I saved a little bit in the current year tax.
Yeah, but you weren't getting taxed worth anything in the military.
No, I wasn't.
I mean, less than half your pay is taxable. So like that made almost zero difference in the taxes, your tax outlay being in the military, contributing to TSP makes almost no difference.
Right. And in the end, the opportunity cost is far, a far greater loss to me is the use of those dollars that I know they're there.
Yep.
And there's a lot of them, relatively speaking, to what I've put in there, but it's just,
yeah,
this is locked up for another. I just turned 46 yesterday as of this recording, and so I've got 14 more years, or 13.
Yeah,
I guess technically 13 and a half
until you can touch it, right?
Yeah, until I could touch it. Yep. That's a long time. A lot can happen then.
What could you be doing with that money right now?
Oh my gosh!
I mean, imagine.
Well, I know what I could be doing with it. I could be putting it to work, earning far more than it's earning now, all, on a more tax favorable basis too.
Yeah. And with less risk.
Right.
Yeah. So again, that all starts with rethinking your thinking in the way you view money and the process of banking. So it's awesome to see that with our clients who come back and they say, instead of asking a question, what I see oftentimes is they come back and they say, hey, here's what I discovered, or here's what I created, like my imagination came up with this. Is this a good idea? I say, actually, that's how I would do it. So sounds good to me. Yeah.
Yeah. And if you're listening and you're not there yet, dedicate a little bit of, maybe over the holiday, take a moment and just do some self-study and say, like, okay, Dave and Paul are talking about this, how can I get there? And maybe it's rereading Nelson's book, or it's getting on a call with us, right? To really, maybe you don't understand you should by now, but maybe you don't understand the mechanics of how your policy works and how paid up additions work, or whatever. There might be a technical gap in your education, or maybe there's just, maybe a philosophical gap or something. Most of you listening, of course, are like lockstep with us, of course, but maybe there's some of you that aren't, that need a little, helping hand going forward.
Yeah, I'd say a really good book around that is Killing Sacred Cows.
Yeah, yeah. I like that book.
Killing Sacred Cows by Garrett Gunderson is very good because he's also a big believer in infinite banking and Rich Dad, Poor Dad, of course. That's a whole paradigm shift as well. So if you haven't read those two, there you go. There's something to read.
Yeah, absolutely. Both very good books.
Yeah. So another thing is our clients are really serious about repaying their loans. And that's usually a question I get when somebody sets up time to talk and they say, hey, I've got this opportunity. I want to take a loan out, but I just want to make sure I'm able to repay it. And we discuss that and make sure there's a plan to repay that, whether that's on a monthly basis or taking the cash flow from the investment or opportunity and putting that back towards a loan, or it's hey, I'm really sure I'm going to get this capital back at the end of this term, and then I'll just repay it at that point. That's valid as well.
Yeah. How do you feel about, we recently had a guest on, and it sounded like he truly treats his infinite banking system of policies as like his savings account. And this was Travis. And it sounds like he uses loans to pay his annual premiums.
Yeah. And it's because he's taking loans to put towards opportunities and then funneling every free dollar he has
right
to repaying that loan. so that by the time his premium rolls around, he hasn't saved any up in the bank, which is completely fine because he's using that more effectively by repaying his loans with throughout the year.
Yeah. I think for the, I often tell people, you know, you should pay your premium with new money, but that is new money actually. It's just originating from his system, which I think is totally fine.
Yeah.
But for, there are a few people that I've had over the years that would not work for because they'd abuse the system and steal the peas. But if you're not a pea stealer, right, if you're going out the front door of your grocery store, then I think that is really IBC optimization, I think.
It is. And the fact is, if you've got room in your policy through either PUA or outstanding loan balance, that's the best place for your money to reside, even if it means you're not saving up that next premium payment in somebody else's bank.
Right.
You know, and if you have to take a loan against the policy, guess what? You're exactly where you would have been otherwise if you had, instead of repaying a loan, you're saving it up in somebody else's bank.
Right.
You can make the premium payment, but now you still have an outstanding loan. So what's the difference?
Right. I think you're maximizing efficiency.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, over time, and it totally, for the right, most of our clients, that would actually work.
Yeah. It's just another, if you think of it like another savings account, you might as well save it there instead of in somebody else's bank.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So, you know, along those lines, they aren't looking for us to lead them. In the beginning, we're the guide, you know, because you don't know a whole lot. We're going to guide you through this process and get you to the point of being your own banker. But you're always taking the lead in your own life. We're here as just guides. And that's really the relationship that I like to have with clients after the policy's in force is, I'm here as a guide and a coach, but you are the lead, you know, you're the lead character in your own movie. You're the hero in your own story. You're the banker in your own life. I'm not your banker. You are.
As Nelson would say, the actors in the play.
Yeah. Yep. The actors, every actor has a role, but yeah, you are, you know, they're taking the lead and taking ownership of it, which is, you know, part of the whole process of becoming your own banker, which is personal responsibility.
It's not Dave and Paul become your banker.
Yeah, you can't blame us like you can blame your stockbroker when the market falls. Be like, my stockbroker lost me money.
Yeah,
well, it's easy to blame somebody else, but in this situation, no, you're not going to blame us. You're going to blame yourself because you're taking the lead on it.
Yeah, I like that. You know, and we do have clients that, you know, have actually become, you know, I would say friends, legitimately friends of ours.
Yeah.
Or individual friends of yours or friends of mine, friends of ours.
He's a friend of ours.
He's a friend of ours.
Yeah.
But, you know, and I was able to talk to this guy. He was one of my best clients. Talked to him all the time. Talked him out of doing something, which I think on the surface, actually, one's a client, one's not, but two people now that I can think of that I really talked them out of, or at least gave them something to think about enough that they did not do something and they were better off for it.
Yeah.
Because it was, one turned out to be a scam, legit, headliner on the news. You know, there you go.
Oh, well. Yeah.
I told you it sounded fishy.
Yeah.
Because the thing you need to ask yourself, I don't want to get too off topic, but in practical terms, yep, you've got a promissory note, you've got guarantees, you've got all these things, whatever, whatever. You don't know these people. If something goes wrong, how do you actually get your capital back?
Like, yeah.
Well, you're hiring attorneys now. And then
you're hiring attorneys, all paying a lot of money. Yeah.
Right.
So it really, yeah, that's why in my opinion, it really comes down more to the handshake than the paperwork.
That's right. If I can't do a handshake deal with somebody, I don't want to be in business with them.
Right. So I want to know the people I'm doing business with.
Yeah,
that's it.
For sure.
Yeah. So another thing I learned about a lot of our clients is they're very keen now as their knowledge of infinite banking and the process of banking goes, they're very keen on now capturing these big annual expenses or these big one-time expenses as premium before they pay that expense. And we had a whole webinar on this, episode 186, which was phenomenal. If you watch that on YouTube, we had a lot of people come back after that and say, you know what? I can do that now.
You drew that out.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's usually the best way to get a message across is draw it out. Because, you know, comic books are easier to follow than a novel.
Yep.
Yeah. So I've seen a lot of people that light bulb moment go off and they're like, yeah, you know, I'm saving up and paying this expense every year. There is a way to run that through my policy without the added pressure of now having a policy premium and the expense. You could do both.
Right.
Without added pressure.
I'm going to rewatch that one on YouTube, actually. That really was a good episode. A good thought exercise. And I've said that to several people. Just watch this. This is literally how you could do it. The numbers don't matter.
Right. The idea for that episode came from a client. He called me and he's like, man, I just can't wrap my head around how to funnel more expenses into my policy like Nelson talks about. And it really challenged me to put it in simple terms and draw it out to make it easy to understand. So thanks to that client, Jonathan. Appreciate it.
Joe Nathan.
Yeah. All right. And another one, our clients want to be around like-minded people. You know, they want to stay engaged, because I heard this recently from somebody, a shared client. He's like, I don't know anybody out here who does this. So nobody in my circle does this. Well, guess what? Now he's gotten involved in some other areas of life that is, that there are a lot of people practicing IBC. So now he's around people all the time, virtually, but still around them. And he's listening to the podcast. So he stays engaged. You know, you got to find those people and find those podcasts.
Yeah, find your tribe. The IBC, the Wealth Warehouse tribe, is very good. Just wonderful people.
Yeah.
You should never feel alone. There's hundreds of thousands of people doing this, whether they know they're doing it or not.
Yeah.
But there's plenty of people practicing, deliberately practicing IBC with purpose, with intent. And yeah, surround yourself with those people.
Yeah. Perfect. This kind of goes back to what we just talked about, but they're expanding their systems and finding more premium, whether that's learning that maybe I should stop putting money over here in all these different pools because there's only one pool of capital. Nelson tells us that. And maybe I should just redirect that money and sequence it into an expanding system of capital that I can control.
In fact, I have a buddy. He's a buddy from college. He's up in Alaska. You know who he is. Buddy John. And
John, yep.
I asked him, because pretty much every year that I've been in the business, he has opened up a new policy, whether it's whole life, convertible term, juvenile, whatever. And I asked him the other day, I was like, hey, man, you know, happy Thanksgiving, Merry Christmas. Are you going to open up another policy in 2026? Because that state is kind of a pain. Not, you know, let it lapse. You have to send in another form with it and say you're...
Yeah.
It's stupid. But
yeah.
So he's like, yeah, I'll probably do another commercial. So I was like, all right, I'll renew my license in that state. And
yeah,
so we'll be good to go.
That's funny. Yeah, because there's only so many people that live in that state. It's not one you want to renew unless you have somebody waiting.
Right.
Yeah,
that's right.
That's funny. Yeah. So, and here's the final one. Oh, I've seen a lot of referrals this year. And it's really because our clients want to share good things with their friends and their family. So they talk about this and they spread the message and they send them our name and our podcast or whatever it may be and put them in touch with us. So for those of you who've done that, thank you very much. For those who haven't, we would love to talk to anybody in your network. You know, if you want to share something good with them, send them over. Let's talk.
Yeah. I mean, that was the journey we both took, right? I couldn't shut up about it in like 2018, 2019, as I kind of grew into it and learned more about it. But just as a client, I was like, this is great. I was digesting good content from a friend, James and Ryan, and just learning a whole bunch.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I couldn't shut up about it. And it kind of took over everything that I thought of. And then you hear other people talking about finance or money. And I was just like, there's a way better way to do that.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
But you can't roll in there with like, actually you should pass that money through a dividend paying whole life insurance policy first. They're going to be like, cause it's completely foreign. They have no idea how you can.
No, you got to understand the process first.
Yeah.
And then absolutely. You talk about the product. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really,
I made a comment on this Facebook group the other day to a guy, and you know, not a client, not going to be a client, but Yeah, I was like, he's like, I've been looking at this concept for many years, and I just don't know if. And he was looking at it as an investment. I was like, you're comparing apples to oranges.
Yeah,
that's not your approach to this is the wrong. This is first and foremost about bagging.
Yeah,
controlling the function of bagging. That's it. Nothing.
Yep.
Nothing else matters. It's not about rates of return. I quote Nelson whenever I can, but so we'll see if that helps him. Who knows?
Yeah. Well, great. You know, we learned a lot more about clients over the years, or over the last year, this is just a compilation of some of the biggest things that we've seen, and we can't wait for this next year to bring you guys even more value, more content in a better way. And we're just really focusing now on really doubling down on this podcast and what we can provide to everybody out there. So stay tuned for more changes. And it's all going to be good things. If you guys want to talk, get a hold of us. Our emails are in the show notes, and leave us a review on whatever platform you're listening to. We'd appreciate that. And happy new year.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to a new listener, Carrie. Please leave us a review, on Apple Podcasts.
All right. There you go. Well, enjoy the new year, and I hope everybody had a wonderful holiday break, and we look forward to seeing you guys next week. Until then, control your capital,
or somebody else will.
Hey, thanks for listening, everybody. If you'd like to have a conversation with us to see how you can become your own banker, or if you have any questions or topics you'd like us to tackle on a future episode, please send us an email to davidandpaul@theibcguys.com.
And subscribe and leave us a review if you're on Apple. Follow and leave us a 5-star review if you're on Spotify, and please share this with your friends. We'll see you next week.